I think I'll be back on next week. Next week will be Veterans Day, the 11th. So I'll probably be on. But
we will do a show on the 11th, of course. We always try to.
Okay.
Yeah. I will anyway.
All right. Well, I will. You guys have a good week. And Cope's coming up. Good night. That's my show for this evening. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, amid all the turmoil out there, there are still good things going on. I hope something I shared with you tonight gave you a reason to smile. See you next week.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Will they pick the tune out?
Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Okay, it's a little hectic in here trying to get everything running, but I made it. It's still not recording, so there won't be a podcast. Well, there might if I can get it from DeTinker. I'll do that. I'm trying to get some other ones put together right now, so I'll try to get caught up on the podcast here a little bit. We're not going to get all of them because we've had trouble with recording, both of us, so he's missed a couple, and my recorder's just not up to snuff. So, anyway, welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 4th of November, which is the day before the 5th of November. Amy said, don't miss V for Vendetta tomorrow night. That is an annual tradition now for the last, probably missed 1 year, right? But I think we've been doing that for 8 or 9 years, I guess. 6 or 8 years, something like that. I know we did it in 2012. So I don't remember. But anyway, that's what we do on the 5th of November. It's movie night. All right, we've got, like I said, things are kind of mixed up right now. We had a heck of a time getting things running. Matter of fact, speaking of running, I guess I better go look at the chat room and see. 5x5, thank you, Tebow. That's exactly what I wanted to know. So I didn't know if we were getting any sound out there. Now, we've had a heck of a time getting the broadcaster working tonight for some reason. It's been flawless for me ever since. Thank you, DeTinker. Been flawless for me ever since I started using it until just the last week or so, and I've had trouble recording and had some kind of a glitch in it tonight. So hopefully it's temporary and not an ongoing thing. I'm not interested in messing with it that much. So all right, let's see where we're at. Never mind. I told you that the other night. I was going to tell you about the going out and practicing with the Ruger PC-9, but let me turn this bracket off. But I remember I told you that the other day. Got to figure out which phone is making racket here. There we go. Must have been that one. Okay, let me scroll up here. And by the way, let me go back into the chat room here one more time before we get going. And now he's gone. We have two hoofers in there. My guess is it may be somebody I know, but maybe not. Old Buffalo was in there earlier, and now Old Buffalo's gone. I was going to say he's gone, but I don't know if it's a he. He says he's a long-time podcast listener, and this is the first time he's ever made it in live. So hopefully he'll be back, whatever, or she. And Two Hoofer, glad to see you in there, whoever you are. Thank you for joining us tonight. Sorry it's such a hectic night. We've had a heck of a time tonight. And I see an Anonymous in there, and Tebow, and Yakima Glock, and Doc, and Pumpkin Cat, and De Tinker, and me. How about that? All right, let's move right along. Let me get my other deal opened up here. There's a lot of movement right now, a lot of effort in various states and federally to get some gun laws changed or better ones, you know, enacted for the better. And I told you last week that Trump has reversed course on the red flag law, says he's not going to support that. Gotten some interesting comments on another board here. I'll have to check that out later. There may be some show material in there. But anyway, just let's see. When was this? Just a few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, the Firearms Policy Coalition has filed a United States Supreme Court brief asking that they hear a challenge to Maryland's. In Maryland, you have to have a good and substantial reason to get a concealed carry permit. Now, what they're trying to figure out is just what in the hell is a good and substantial reason. So they say that we believe this case is worthy of the Supreme Court's review for several reasons. By now, nearly every federal court has addressed the right to keep and bear arms in some fashion or another. So they want them to, they're trying to get the fundamental basic human right to carry arms in public, trying to get that restored throughout the United States. And they're not talking about a national concealed carry law or something. They're just trying to get the laws back to where they were at one time, where if you want to carry a gun, you just carry a gun. I kind of want to say I don't see them having much luck, but there's been, you know, stranger things have happened. We've seen some in spite of all the efforts to undermine the Second Amendment and take them away from us, we've seen some pretty good advancements in some areas here. So we can always hope. At least they're keeping it on the front burner out there and not just giving up. So I'm glad to see that. Looks like old Buffalo hasn't come back yet. I guess he got tired of waiting. I don't blame him or her. We took a long cotton picking time, like 45 minutes, to get the shows going. Nan just joined us. Glad to see you in there as always. All right, let me go back over here and continue to march here and see what we're at. This is an interesting development here. It was today, I believe, 13 hours ago, that President Trump has, you remember Chief Gallagher, Edward Gallagher, who was convicted of war crimes and I don't remember what he was sentenced to, but he went to jail for a while, and then they let him out. President Trump stepped in and got him released, but he still had the the conviction and lost his pay grade, lost his rank. As a matter of fact, I think he was all the way down to an E1, you know, the very lowest. And that's unfortunate that he had that many years of that kind of service and lost everything. But President Trump has again stepped in and has restored Chief Gallagher's rank. So not everybody thinks that's a good thing. I've got a couple of friends that are SEALs or were SEALs. And that's, I don't know if I mentioned it, but Chief Gallagher was a SEAL. And they were a little bit put out with Gallagher. You know, it's not that nobody was mad because he killed the guy. That wasn't the issue. The issue was him having a picture taken of himself with the body. And that's kind of like amongst the community there, you know, other SEALs and special ops guys, there's kind of an unwritten policy, an unwritten law there that's just in poor taste, and it's just not things, you know, the rank and file, you know, the grunts do it all the time, and Amy said he's proud of what he did. Well, Amy said it's like, you know, when you're getting your picture taken with a big bull moose or whatever, and something proud of. You know, I don't know. It's in poor taste for that type of individual. It's like I said, you see the rank and file guys do it all the time, and they're proud of themselves. But you know, the SEALs and the Green Berets and Recon and them are kind of a step above everybody else, and they call them special forces for a reason. It's probably a little bit in bad taste. Now, I don't know. Evidently, there is some kind of written also, aside from the way other troops feel about them. Apparently, there is some type of law military law, that frowns on that. So, but anyway, be that as it may. I personally, I don't care. It's not a big deal. I think it's in a little bit poor taste considering who it was. But I don't really care one way or the other. Actually, I'm glad to see Chief Gallagher get his rank back and get kind of headed back to normal. You know, he may not ever get things back to as normal as they once were. But, he'll get to some degree of it, I guess, anyway. Okay, let's see if we can move right along here. You know, I almost hate to mention this, but it drives home a point that I have stressed on this show for 15 years. And that is the fact that liberalism is indeed a mental illness. And it is, it's almost incurable. Although there are a few isolated cases where someone has been brought out of that affliction. But 2 days ago, a woman in Texas, staunch, vocal gun control activist, killed herself and her 3 children in her house. I didn't remember if it said what kind of a gun that she used. And it's like all the time, you know, they say, oh, what good kids and everything. And apparently these kids were, you know, a cut above the rest of them. They said that they were just truly, all of them, just a joy to be around. And I guess they found her when a relative called in a welfare check on them. And they said, these were the kind of kids you want to have around. So they really were. They played well. They talked to the adults. Amazing kids in all kinds of ways. And so the story itself, you know, it's sad and I hate it, and it drives home a point. It confirms what I have said for years, many years. I first made that sign and hung it in my shop in 2004, I think. Four or five. So it's been 13, 14, 15 years, somewhere in there, that I've been saying, I've still got the sign, got a picture of it on my phone. I post it every once in a while on Facebook when I need to drive this home. Do what? Oh, and he said it didn't say why she killed him. I don't think anybody knows why. They said he's been going through some depression and stuff and a divorce. But other than that, there's no indication. There was no note. Nobody suspected anything. That's why I said that said she's been battling depression and anxiety, but had arthritis and stuff going on. Hell, I've got arthritis, and I'm not planning on killing myself or anybody else. It just says ruled as a suicide with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Doesn't say what gun she used or anything. So it is an incurable mental illness. That's what liberalism is. Let me go back and Doc says dead people are never camera shy. That's a fact. I've had good luck with that. You know. Never had a problem. The oldest Marine at the survived Iwo Jima is dead. I believe he's 103 years old when he died. And this was, 3 days ago. John Moon was his name. 103 years old of Macomb, Chicago. The loss of the oldest living Iwo Jima survivor. The rest of the story is, well, I guess he rose to fame again. I shouldn't say again because he didn't rise to fame necessarily until it was all said and done. But he sung the national anthem at a WIU women's basketball game in 2017 at the age of 100. So I bet that was awesome. Moon joined the Marines in 1943, been a WIU graduate, husband, father, a young son, job with Caterpillar Tractor Company. Let's see, what else? Now it just tells more about him and his jobs and coming up and joining the military and all that. So, all right. Well, that's one to be saluted there. I think what I'm going to do while I organize things here a little bit is since I finally got things running, I'm going to take a little break, and I'll be back in a minute.
Over the fallen sun, I see all the heroes. day I'm giving all I can, 'cause I'm damn proud to be American. Yeah, I made some friends, and I've lost some too. When I think about what they gave for me and you,
another segment of the Shooting Bench right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
All right, here we are back. Took that break just a little bit early, but that's okay. We're going to stick a song in here in a little while. Let me get my deal here. There's a kind of an interesting story going on. There's a heck of a lot of chatter about Civil War, especially if Trump is impeached. And most people saying that don't understand what impeached means to start with. You know, it's not, well, you guys know what it means, so we're not going to get into it. But they're talking about the militias going in. They're talking about the Constitution being suspended and martial law, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all this stuff is I think it's quite possible, maybe even probable. There's, you know, there's always, there's the, I don't know if I'd call it a fact yet, although I do kind of believe it, that the Constitution is already suspended and has been since Abraham Lincoln's days, and that they've been just kind of allowing us to work under its protections, you know, all this time, and then, you know, saving a time to lower the boom on us. That's entirely possible, I think. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that I guarantee that's a fact, but I think it's quite doable. But anyway, man, this thing's almost as loud on vibrate on this table as it is when it's on noise, on sound. But whatever that is, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that there was a scare today in, where was it, Pueblo, Colorado, where there was a guy that had planned to blow something up there, a tabernacle or a temple of some kind. And someone said, well, you know, we don't know what to believe. We don't know if it was real or if it's a false flag or what. And I said, you know, it doesn't matter to us whether it's real or a false flag or not. What matters is that even if nothing happened, they make people believe that something was about to. So, and that's all that matters. That's all they have to do. Nothing has to happen. And even if it did happen, it wouldn't matter if it was a false flag or a real terrorist attack. It would have the exact same effects on us. So who cares? Who cares who brought down the Twin Towers? Doesn't matter. They're down. Killed a bunch of people. Doesn't make any difference who organized it. Doesn't make any difference who's responsible for it. Doesn't make any difference why to how Tower 7 went down unexplained. It doesn't matter. We will likely never know the full truth of that. And whether we do or not, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change the laws that were enacted because of it. It's not going to change the things, the restrictions we got as a result of it. Doesn't matter. You know, you can spend all your life fighting and carrying on about who did what, but it doesn't matter. You know, if there was any way possible that you could find videotape and, you know, a recording of President Bush or, you know, whoever, George Soros or, you know, Mickey Mouse, it doesn't make any difference, anybody. If you could have that recording, undeniable, factual recording of him saying, well, you know, it's time to move away from this part of New York. Those planes are going to be coming in here and hitting in a few minutes. And, you know, with the money that we sent to those people's families and whatever, we knew they were going to die, you know, whatever, make up whatever story. Would anything happen if we did? Did anything happen to Clinton? Did anything happen to the people that were involved in Fast and Furious? Did anything happen to Hillary Clinton? When I said Clinton, I meant Bill Clinton back in the day. Did anything happen to Hillary over Benghazi? You know, these are, it possibly could be a little different now that Trump's in there. Maybe we'd see something happen. Maybe not. We haven't seen a whole lot of anything happen from anybody yet. So my point is, don't strain your milk over all of this stupid crap that may or may not be true, that you may or may not have some inside information that nobody else has, which you don't, by the way. If you have something leaked to you, you can believe it would be everywhere and everybody would know. No, you don't. And it doesn't matter if you did, because nothing's going to change. If there is an event that initiates this civil war, as they call it, I'm not sure what is so civil about a civil war anyway. I'll have to look into that a little bit. Anyhow, so I think people waste a tremendous amount of time and resources, money, time, bandwidth, over and over and over. There are still people saying, oh, the Twin Towers couldn't have done this and jet fuel doesn't get that hot. Now, shut up. Okay, I don't care. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. You're wasting valuable time that you could be doing something more productive. go out and mow the lawn. You know, do something that, the world will remember you for. Nobody's going to care what you thought about the Twin Towers or anything else as far as that goes. We had a lot of evidence that Hillary grossly and negligently and criminally neglected to fulfill her abide by her oath in Benghazi. We had undeniable, absolute truth or facts that of the people that were involved in Fast and Furious, and still to this day discover guns south of the border, or the people that brought from south of the border that they acquired through Fast and Furious. And what has happened to the people responsible for that? Not one damn thing. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, some of them got moved into other jobs. Some of the ATF guys got moved into other jobs where they were making more money, and that was the end of that. We heard no more from them. So why should we even worry at all? Yeah, Tebow said, just like pro wrestling, nothing ever gets solved. Hurry and buy your ringside ticket. That's a damn fact right there. So, I look at these things and I form my own opinions about, 9/11 or, the plane running into the Pentagon and Benghazi and blah, blah, blah. I have my own opinion. But, I don't share them too much because there's no point in it. There's for every one person that believes one thing, there's 1,000 that believes something just the opposite. So why do we even discuss it? Why do we waste the time? It's like I'm wasting time right now talking about it. But I'm hoping that through this little rant that I'm going through right now, that some of you might consider that and think about it. And share this with other people. You don't ever see me getting in a discussion. I don't think any of you have once seen me get into a discussion about what happened to the Twin Towers. I may have made one or two comments a time or two, but I have not one time have I ever tried to convince anybody anything other than what they already believe. They already believe it is not going to be changed. They don't have any proof of what they believe. I don't have any proof of what I believe. So both of us just need to shut up about it because we're wasting time. So there you have it. That's my rant for the night. I guess I ought to have a regular feature every show where I go through a rant. Oh, I already do that pretty much, don't I? Oh, never mind. Okay, why would you let your kid go trick-or-treating in Chicago? That's another thing. You want to get me on another rant? Let's get on another one while we're in the mood. One of my other rants is people that constantly talking about how Halloween and Easter and Christmas and everything else are pagan holidays. So what? And you know what? It's a pagan holiday to the pagan people. It is what you make out of it. If you worship the type of gods and whatever that the pagans do, and you do this and you do it at a pagan holiday, so what? So what? You do it. Who cares? What difference does it make at this point? We don't. As Christians, we see Christmas as a legitimate Christian holiday. We see Easter as a legitimate Christian holiday. We see Halloween as just something fun to do. And, so What about the ghost and the goblins? And they said, so what? Who cares? You could dress up as whatever. Pick something. It doesn't make any difference unless you actually believe in it. If you take that event and turn it into something where you're making human sacrifices and whatnot because of it, then yeah, then probably that's a little different. But for the kids to go out and gather candy around the neighborhood, good night, pumpkin cat, around the neighborhood, who cares? Who cares? They're having fun. Day after tomorrow, it'll all be forgot about. You know, the candy will be sitting on the counter. Most of it will be thrown away in 6 months after it sits there long enough. And, yeah, the Tinker says trick-or-treat in Chicago. That's a really late-term abortion. Anyway, as I started this, who would let their kids go trick-or-treating in Chicago? I don't know how many people were killed Halloween night, but a 7-year-old girl was shot in the neck as she was trick-or-treating. She was dressed up as a bumblebee, and she was shot in her lower neck, taken to the local hospital in critical condition. Now, this, just out having fun, trick-or-treating, getting some candy, and enjoying life, and she gets shot in the neck. So, you know, I think one of the things that our church does, and I guess others do it as well, they have a what they call trunk or treat, and I've seen it performed a couple of different ways, but they'll have people set up in Farmington, especially a huge double parking lot, and they have people set up little kind of like little exhibits, you know, with their SUVs and their station wagons, and they put a little pop-up tent up or something, and they put little fun displays up there, and the kids walk around and they're getting candy and stuff from people that they know. And that is, it's safe, it's fun, and, you know, it just seems like a great way to do it to me. I can remember even back when I was a kid, and believe you me, that was some time back. Even then, there were people putting razor blades in apples and stuff like that. My mom went through every single frickin' piece of stuff that I got to make sure that it was safe. You know, there wasn't something. Even then, there's no way of telling that they didn't put a couple of drops of, you know, strychnine in a wrapped candy or something. So, you know, trick or treating is just not. You know, the cases of it were fairly. Infrequent back then, but they still happened. And now, you know, not only do we worry about razor blades and apples and poison and dope and everything else, we have to worry about getting shot while we're trick-or-treating. So, anyway. Well, I guess you heard that, Beto O'Rourke has given up his presidential bid. He's also not going to run for Senate. He's just hanging it up. I don't know if somebody told him, you know what, you need to just pack your stuff and go home. It's not we're just not going to play with you anymore. But I thought that was kind of funny anyway. You know, did you? I started out here. Earlier, I was going to tell you another story, and I forgot. I didn't make a copy of it. I'll just have to do it by memory. But a lot of you have seen the story about the 8-month pregnant woman, wife, that killed a home intruder with an AR-15. Now, two guys came into the house, obviously with bad intentions, beat the husband to a parade rest. I mean, they broke his eye socket and broke his nasal passages, and he had all kinds of cuts and bruises and swelling and black and blue and everything else. And the wife kind of snuck off to the bedroom, come back out with an AR-15, brought all that crap to an abrupt halt. She shot the one. He ran out there about 100 yards behind the house and died right there in a ditch. One of them got away. I'm pretty confident they'll be catching him. But it shows once again how many times over the years. So those of you that have listened to me for a long time, like Tebow's listened ever since, like forever. As a matter of fact, Tebow used to be in the studio with me when we were doing the show back in Farmington. So he's been a familiar fixture here since 2004 or 2005, somewhere in there. But during that length of time, how many times has AR-15 saved the day? Or an AK-47? AK-47 not as often, you know, two or three times. But the ARs has saved the day, especially against multiple attackers, probably, I don't even know, 6, 8, 10 times. Now, in the overall scheme of things, that's not a whole lot when you talk about the number of people and the number of AR-15s and number of bad guys and everything else, but not all of them are reported. A lot of, some of those are resolved without firing a shot and never heard of. So the number that we get, I think, is significant. It's significant enough that people like Beto O'Rourke need to pack up their stuff and go home and shut up. So it looks like, I think I told you the other day that they were working on Oklahoma being our next constitutional carry state. Just a tiny update on that that says that they are going forward with this despite the anti-gunners that have raised all kind of hell trying to get them to stop. But it took effect on November 1st. And at this point, it's a done deal. The anti-gunners are still working on it, but they're not having any luck. Anyway, hold on right here. We just got something come in here. Let me check this out here. All right. I can check that out after the show. By the way, most of you already know this, but a couple of new guys are in there, and like I said, the podcast is where we get the most. So let me mention once again that I am officially running for sheriff of Apache County, Arizona. The election will be the general election, November of 2020. And it's going to be a very, very hard campaign. It's going to be rough. There's a couple of stand by here just one second, please. Okay, I'm back. It's going to be really tough because of the large population of Democrats and the large population of Republicans that vote Democrat. Now, this is Apache County is a classic example of a place where people just vote for who they know is going to win. And the incumbent sheriff in 2016 ran basically unopposed. There was a couple of write-ins, you know, they got like 12 votes or whatever. And going through all the records of the 2016 election, most of the people looked to me like, because now you talk to people on the street, you can't find anybody that likes the guy much, but they all voted for him, which means that a lot of them voted simply because they knew he was going to win. There are a number that vote, you know, straight line, you know, ticket, you know, just Democrat no matter what. It doesn't make any difference. But one of the things that I'm going to try to convince people, especially for my run, is that, you know, partisan politics have little to do with the sheriff's run. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm pro-life. It doesn't matter whether I'm, you know, it does matter if I'm pro-gun, because the sheriff has is tasked to enforce, like, red flag laws or whatever. So, yeah, that would make a difference. Whether I am pro-life or not does not make a difference in the overall scheme of what the sheriff is there for. So I need to convince them that, yes, you may have policies and things that you support that the Democrats are doing, but that is not a reason not to support me as your sheriff. Because those policies are not anything that I, whether I like them or not, with the exception of, you know, of breaking a law that I would be required to, you know, arrest somebody or whatever, that's not what the sheriff is about. So with the exception of the gun thing, I would think that most people, no, that's not true. In the Southwest, I think most people would want a pro-gun sheriff. Maybe not so much in other places. Maybe not so much in Portland or San Francisco or whatever. But most places in the Southwest, I'm pretty sure that being anti-gun sheriff is not going to fly very well. So anyway, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to do it. My hopes are very high, but my expectations, well, maybe not so much. But you know, we're going to give it our best shot and do everything that we possibly can to get that taken care of. And Doc and I did take your advice and reworded some of the stuff that I had out there. So. Okay, well, it's a couple minutes early, but I'm going to go ahead and ease on out of here anyway, just because I've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. We've got company coming over here tomorrow. We're going to do the V for Vendetta deal, and always a lot of fun. I love that show. But we don't ever watch it through the year at any time. We don't say, well, let's watch that movie again. No, we don't ever do that. We save it for one particular time. We save it for the 5th of November. And that is tomorrow. So, fortunately, if the 5th of November falls on a show night, depending on what time, we get started. Now, we have, of course, the DVD, so we can watch it anytime we want. But show maybe a pre-record or put on hold while we watch V for Vendetta. So if you haven't watched V for Vendetta, shame on you. Tomorrow is your opportunity. You've got to watch that show. And right now I have got to get out of here. So we'll see you all Friday night for Liberty Lounge. At this point, I see no reason why it won't be here and live. I'm going to work on this stupid broadcaster and see if I can get the thing recording properly so that I can get the podcast up in a timely manner. But anyway, until then, I will see you guys later. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.